Luke chapter 2, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture, no doubt. How many of you have read this passage in the last 24, 48 hours? Okay, well, if you haven't, you're going to read it this morning. And it's a familiar one. Just follow along with me, will you, in your Bibles as we read the story of the birth of the Christ child. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he did that to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared and stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and saw, and it was told them. Of course they did. Of course they did. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray this morning that you would open up to us your word. What a wonderful, what a remarkable passage this is. Lord, may our eyes be open, our hearts in tune. And Lord, may we be ready to hear from you, hear what you want us to hear this morning. And Lord, may we come to your word this morning with that expectation that you do desire to speak to us, to guide us, to help us to see more of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that in doing that, we would be more consumed and caught up, excited, and with a heart that deeply yearns to glorify his name for all that he has done. And so, Lord, hear us, we pray. Forgive us our sins. Let there be nothing that would keep us from hearing this word this morning. Give me your Holy Spirit in a way, Father, that I might be able to preach this word to the hearts of your people, and that it would stick and not fall to the ground. And Lord, more than that, that it would produce a generation of worshipers on fire for you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And we do that, Father, because you always answer him. Amen. There's no way that they could have expected him. There's no way. I mean, these weren't the kind of people that would expect an angelic visit. This wasn't the kind of place where they would expect it either. I mean, these are the fields. Ever walked around a field before? Children, ever gone for a walk through a field? This is not the place where you would expect an angelic visit. This wasn't the temple where you might have expected the babe, or the angel, rather, to appear. And these weren't the kind of men that would have expected an angel to appear. I mean, who were these men? They were shepherds. They were blue-collar workers. They were dirt under their fingernails kind of men. And they weren't priests. And they were just there eking out a living on the side of a hill somewhere, watching over their sheep by night. There's no way they could have seen it coming. And yet there he was, wasn't he? Just out of nowhere, unannounced, an angel of the Lord appears. We're told that the glory of the Lord shone around the angel, and the shepherds were absolutely petrified. Of course they were. There's no way they could have expected this. And the angel's errand was really very simple, wasn't it? Simple but profound. Announce this message. I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which will be for all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's right, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. A manger. That was the cue. That was the word. As soon as that word left the angel's mouth, what happens? Suddenly we're told a host, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared. And that word multitude, you know what that means? It means don't bother trying to count. It means that there are just way too many angels there to try and even count. A multitude. They just lit up the sky, and they were there, and they were praising God and worshiping. And the question we're asking this morning is why? Why? I mean, what moved the angels to come down here and to glorify and praise God? What was it that caused them to move their wings and shadow this earth? What was it that moved the angels that day to evacuate heaven and come down and worship God? That's the question we're asking this morning. You know what it is? The answer to that question? They came to teach you a song. A song. It's not a very long song. Just a couple of verses long, actually. Very short verses. But they are awesome. And they are just packed. And they are great. And they're glorious. And they are instructive for us. And this morning we are learning the angel's song. And they're teaching us something amazing about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? Here it is. First of all, that the birth of Jesus Christ is reason to glorify God. The birth of Jesus Christ is reason to glorify God. Glory to God in the highest. Okay, note that priority in the song. Glory to God in the highest. You know, it's interesting that so often when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of it in terms of what God has done for us. Isn't that true? And we understand that, don't we? I mean, after all, He came to the earth as a baby. He became a man who died on the cross, and died on the cross to pay for our sins, so that by faith we may be brought to God and have an everlasting relationship with God through Him. We understand that, and when we understand that, we think this, hey, you know what? This is all about me. And we think that way. But if you look at the first verse of this song, you're not in here. The spotlight is not on you. The spotlight is on whom? It's on God. Glory to God in the highest, where God dwells. Above the heavens, way above the heavens, in heaven above. Glory to God there.
And the lesson is so simple and so amazing. And take note of this. The reason why Jesus Christ came into this world was not ultimately or chiefly for you. You know who it was for? It was for God. It was for God. This is not all about us. This is all about God. Glory to God in the highest. Sounds like Romans chapter 11, doesn't it? If you know the verse, just speak it out right along with me. Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, come on, to whom be glory forever. And what the angels are teaching us here in this song is so vital. You cannot miss it. You can't fail here. And it's this, the overarching reason why God gave us His Son was for ultimately, primarily, chiefly Himself. And how does that work out, you ask yourself? Well, it's this, that God loves Himself. And He is totally content and full and absolutely delights Himself in who He is and the expression and the communication of everything that He is. And this is what God does. He glorifies Himself by delighting in the expression and the unfolding and the communication of all that He is. And that's what God has done for us in Christ Jesus by giving us His Son. He has shown us how great His love is, how awesome His mercy is. And as God looks at this, He takes delight in that. And in doing that, He glorifies Himself in that. And that's a great truth. And I bet you can understand that. And you find yourself a painter someday. And you ask the painter, what is it that you really love about painting? And if the painter is honest and reflective, you know what he'll say? You know what she'll say? Well, when I paint a picture, I love to step back from that painting. And I love to look at it. And I love to say to myself, wow, I did that. And that came from me. And these are talents that I've expressed onto this canvas. And I totally take delight in that. And that's what this is all about this morning in the manger. It is all about God. It's all about Him delighting in His own attributes and the communication of those attributes. And that's why the angels are there singing what? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. You see, really, this is not really ultimately and chiefly about you. It's about God. And you need to know that this morning. Because so often, when we think of our salvation, we can be like the child on Christmas Day. And when he wakes up, what's on his mind? Me. My gifts. What am I going to get? And you see the child just rifling through the boxes and scattering paper all over the floor. And it's all about me. It's on to the next gift. And, you know, what did you get me? And what's in it for me? You want to know something, friends? When it comes to our salvation, it is not ultimately about you. Who's it about? It's about God. It's about God glorifying in Himself by delighting in the expression of His inexplicable mercies and grace to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. And how we need to get that this morning. And how we need to understand that. And get this. That friends, if that was the theme that moved the angels that day, if that was what was uppermost in their hearts, if that's what governed their lips, then friends, that should be the theme that directs everything that we do in this life. Because if God delights in His own worth, then friends, we have to delight in that as well. And there's nothing more significant or supreme than the worship of one who is all valuable and all worthy and all loving and all merciful. And we need to learn to join the angels this morning and say, you know what, Lord, it isn't all about me. It's really all about you. And praise be to God and glory to God in the highest for all that you have done. And I rejoice in what you rejoice in, O God Almighty. Get that lesson into your hearts this morning. It's all about God. And you say, well, you know what? That makes God seem pretty selfish. But you know what? God isn't selfish, and you know that. A selfish person does only what he does for himself and nobody else. Understand this, that when God delights in the expression of his love, friends, it benefits you. Like the painter who paints that picture, steps back and says, great, love it, awesome, that's what I did. But you know what? It's a blessing to others, isn't it? And so it is with our salvation. And that brings us to the second verse of this song. The second thing that the angels teach us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is this, that his birth is great news for you. It's great news for you. And how many of you can think of a time when you did something to somebody that was really, really lousy? I mean, so lousy that it just put you out of sorts with this person. Yeah, you can think of that. I got a hand up this morning. Thank you for your honesty. Honesty is good. We do these things. We have done these things. And we know what it is to do a really, really bad thing to somebody and then to experience that sense of alienation. And they're the last person that we want to be around. We feel so awkward. We feel so strange. We don't want to be around those people because of what we've done. Can you think of a time when you've done that to somebody? Can you? If you can, then you can maybe begin to understand what our sin has done to our relationship with God. Our sin is so serious and so wicked that it has severed our relationship with God. God is so holy that because of our sin, he has to turn his face away from us. He can't look at us. He can't be in a relationship with us when there is sin that isn't dealt with. And that's a problem for us, isn't it, this morning? Because how is it that we can ever be in a relationship with God when we cannot do anything to fix it? When we can do nothing to make amends for the things we've done against God? What a terrible predicament that is, isn't it? And you understand that this morning? That you can't do anything to fix the brokenness of your relationship with God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that no matter how nice a person you are, no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you sing, no matter how many times you come to church, no matter if you're baptized, you read the Bible every day, and even pray, do you realize that you can't do enough to make this right? That you have so totally blown it with God that nothing that you can do can fix this relationship. Do you believe that this morning? Can I see a hand up this morning if you can say, yes, I agree with that? And well, why aren't your hands all up? That's the question. Okay, I'll ask that again. Do you really believe that? Okay. That's a problem, isn't it? And what's so staggering about the song is that even though that's our problem and our horrible predicament, that still we hear from the lips of the angels this song, peace on earth. How can they sing that? How can they say to us that peace has come to earth, has touched down? How? How? You'll find the answer in the manger. That's where. You'll find the answer in the manger. Go to the manger. Look inside the manger, and you'll find the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. And here's how it works. You know that thing that keeps you from God? You know that sin that keeps you unreconciled and alienated from God? You know that stuff that we can't do anything to fix, to remove?
God removes it. He comes and He takes it away. He takes away the ground that keeps us unreconciled from God. And here's how He does it. He gives us His Son, Jesus Christ, that little baby who would grow up and become a man of God. And that man would go to the cross after having lived a life of total obedience. And He would die on the cross for your sins and pay the penalty, which is death. And just remove it. And take away all that keeps you from God and all that keeps God from you. And the result being peace. Peace with God. Do you know that peace this morning? Do you know that peace? Or do you still live with a troubled conscience? Does your conscience still accuse you, condemn you? And do you know that you haven't done business with God, that you've never come to Him and confessed your sin to Him and thrown yourself on the mercy of Jesus Christ as the only answer for the great dilemma of your sin? And this morning, if you've never done that, may I encourage you, may I just call you in the name of Jesus Christ to do that? And to me, it doesn't matter if you've grown up in the church your whole life. To me, it doesn't matter how many creeds you've memorized, how many songs, how many psalms, how many hymns you've got down. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I'm asking the question this morning. Do you have peace with God? Or are you on the run? Friend, if you're on the run this morning, if you know that you've never done business with God, today is the day to stop running and to look at Jesus Christ and say, He is everything that I need for an everlasting relationship with God. And I just confess my sin to You, God, and I put my faith, my whole heart in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, you need to do it today. And I'll tell you why you need to do it today. Because if you don't do it today and God calls you, and He might call you home tonight, friend, don't think that because it's Christmas that God wouldn't do that. You need to know that if you go into eternity without Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. And you will endure the wrath of God through the ages. Do you understand that this morning? You need to hear that. If you just spurn Jesus Christ, if you spurn the love gift that God has given to this world, then I tell you that God will spurn you. You don't need to do that this morning. Today can be a day of salvation. God has given us His Son. Do you see that? And the Son has done everything that we need for a right relationship with Him. He's paid the price. He's taken care of the debt. He's removed the barrier. He's unloaded the sin that keeps you from a relationship, a joyful relationship that brings peace. Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. Make the day that you say, God, I'm coming to You. I'm giving my heart to You. I'm laying my life down. I'm surrendering my all to You. And I claim You as Lord and Savior of my life. Do that today. Do you hear me? Do you hear God? If you're here this morning and you've done that, you have peace with God. And what you need to know is this, that His peace is always for you. And God wants so much for His peace to come to you every day of your lives. And you need that peace. And I need that peace. Don't you find that? And how many of you ever lived your days and you're troubled and your soul is disquieted and you're anxious
And there are accusations and there are terrible things that you hear in your mind and your head. And sometimes they're so serious that you think to yourself, Lord God, do I even have a relationship with you? Do you ever fear that? I've done so many wicked things, Lord. How could you ever love me? How? And look what you've done. How can you be a child of God? And then our souls just churn within us and we start to stress and get anxious at times. And friends, God wants you to know that in those moments that there is peace for your mind. And here's how it comes. It comes when you look to Jesus Christ. And you see that in Jesus Christ, all that you need for this relationship is yours. That God has given you His Son's righteousness to cover you. And His Son's blood to wash away your sins. Everything that you need for this relationship is yours. And you have got to go to Him day in and day out and say, Father, that is mine. And He did that for me. And I'm not going to listen to the devil. And I won't listen to my heart. I will look to Jesus Christ because in Him I have salvation, a righteousness to cover me, and His blood to wipe me clean. And I will look there as often as I see the finger of the dark Lord pointing at me and receive His peace. Receive it. And so often we are stressed and troubled by our circumstances in life and they just breed worry, don't they? Your peace, or God's peace, is for you in those situations. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious about nothing, but come on, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. His peace is not something that He only does in order to bring us into that relationship with Him, but it's something that He continues to give His saints day in and day out as we fix our eyes on the Christ. And like the shepherds, you and I need to go to that manger and look at that child and keep looking at Him until we go away and say, yes, Lord, yes, You have done all that I need. And I receive this peace now. And I will not look at my sin. And I will not look at my circumstances. But to the Christ. To the Christ. And did I mention that there's favor? Not only do the angels say peace on earth, they say goodwill among men. Which is another word for favor. It's amazing, isn't it, that even though all that we've done, God is favorably disposed to us. He delights in us this morning. Do you believe that? I'm not asking you to nod your head. I'm asking you to look into your heart and ask this question to yourself. Does Jesus Christ take rapturous delight in you today? Does He? Is God singing a love song over you this moment as I speak? And the angels say yes. The angels say that God's favor is upon His people, that His face is lifted up, that it shines on them. There is a grin. He is happy. He is pleased with you. How? Go back to the manger and look at that child and see that Savior. That's how. That's how. You say, I'm talking a lot about Jesus Christ this morning. You're right, I'm talking about Jesus Christ this morning. That's all I will ever talk about. The only thing worth boasting about and glorifying in. Because He is the one, friends, who does it all for us. Does all that is needed. And friends, this is the song the angels come to teach us to sing this morning. Do you hear it? And more importantly, will you join them? Glorifying God and receiving and experiencing the peace and favor of God in your life. That's why the angels vacated
heaven that day. And that's why their wings touched down to sing that song. And by the grace of God, we will sing it with them. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth, and goodwill among people. Amen. And Father, to God be the glory. To you be the glory. Lord, how important it is for us, no matter what condition we find ourselves in this morning, whether in unbelief or faith, to look upon Christ. And Father, what a wonderful scene this morning that we see in your word. And what help the angels give us. Yes, Lord, they are our servants to help us in salvation. Your word is true. They are doing just that this morning. And we pray, Father, that their song will be our song. And Lord, that it will be a song to praise your great and glorious name for all the good things which you have done for us. And Lord, you have done a good thing for us in Jesus Christ. And in his name, we praise you with the shepherds and with the heavenly host and with the myriads of saints across the world who have lived and who will live and who live now and here. Amen.